Mum.
Jamie.
So, as International Women's Day is coming up, and this will probably be posted on International Women's Day, and hopefully going forward, if we can get some good answers from you, I wanted to interview you because obviously we think everybody knows you are the person that started Lashbase, and you are the person that decided to employ such amazing staff like me.
Of course.
And we realize that lots of people don't actually know who you are, what your story is, what you've done, why you did it, anything like that. So we wanted to, as a business that is founded by a woman, the majority of staff are women, we thought it'd be good if we could interview you and ask some questions. So what I actually did was on my Instagram stories, I put a little question box up and I asked, what questions can I ask you, the founder? Yeah, so I'm going to go through those with you. And first of all, hopefully do some quick fire and you can answer them, all right? Okay, right. First question I'm going to ask, which kind of is right at the beginning, and it's going to be from Frankie Meredith underscore MUA underscore lashes. She says, how did you start Lashbase?
How did I start Lash Place? Okay, so never really intended. I didn't. Going back, it was never a, I am going to do this, I am going to start a lash brand. I just started lashing myself. So I was a stay-at-home mum, and as you are aware, I was always at home for you. And then when you left school, I kind of was at a loose end. Initially, I thought about getting a job, but started one thing and wasn't really happy working for somebody else and always knew I wanted to work for myself. So I then thought, let's go and do some beauty treatments. So I enrolled and trained as a beautician. Did
And this was, sorry, just like for the record, I know the answers to these questions, but hopefully I'm just trying so we can provide more value for people. You were a stay-at-home mum,
Yes.
but at what point was it that you went, I'm going to work now? Like, there are people that have kids that have kids and work. As I know, but you made the decision that you wanted to be a mum. So you had an
Yes.
entire life
Yes.
up until
That was my vocation.
40.
43.
43 years old, so stay-at-home mum.
Yes. Yeah, stay at home mum till I was 43. And then I went and, as I said, ended up deciding, as it I thought it would be part time, just doing some treatments. I thought I could do it from home. I'm my own boss, and it'll just be part time and get me a little bit of pocket money, and that's it, because I'm not someone who can sit around and do nothing. So I needed something to occupy myself.
And is this once we were grown up?
Yes, you
Obviously,
were
yeah.
all grown up, yes. I believe you were 19.
So not really grown up.
Not really grown up, no, but you had
I'm
all
33 and
left.
I'm still
You'd
not
all
grown up,
left
but yeah,
me. You'd all left me. You're all old enough and left me. So I yeah, so I luckily I think I fell into it. I was interested, always interested in beauty anyway. But I fell into it because a good friend of mine ran a beauty school. So for me, the ideal thing was to go and do the courses there. So I ran through most of the beauty courses that you could do, from nails, massage, facials, waxing, everything. And then my very, very last course that I did was, and it was actually her first course that she ran, the first course she ran was lashes, individual lashes. And that was my last
So,
one.
how many years ago was that now?
15 years ago. So that it was very, it wasn't very big, although it had been going for a few years in the UK. It still wasn't really very well known, and there were very few places that did it at the time. So I thought, well, that adds to my list of things I can do. So I did my course, and then it took me 3 months before I actually took on my very first client. I practiced for 3 months solidly, researched,
Was this like
lashing.
free sets or on a mannequin head
No,
or?
friends and family, completely free. Yeah, friends and family. And I just practice and got all the same kind of hiccups that everybody else has, all the bits that, but strangely back then you didn't get told a lot. Most of it you had to find out for yourself. So taping and how to do things like that, it's something that I just learned myself to get over things that were difficult. And then 3 months I took on my first customer. At the time, I was doing all the other treatments and I had a full list of treatments. But once I started doing lashing, it very, very quickly turned into I was only ever booked. I got word of mouth, and I was booked pretty much 9 till 9. They'd have me
Because I
every day
guess,
of the week, and I dropped every other treatment.
yeah, sorry to interrupt, but
Yeah.
I guess that's an important thing. Back 15 years ago, there wasn't necessarily, well, there wasn't social media, was there,
No,
like it is
no,
today? So
no.
you managed to get back booked nine
Yeah.
to nine every day just from word of mouth alone,
Yes. Yeah. Yeah,
which
I did.
to be honest, I still think is possible for people now. I don't
Oh,
like necessarily.
I'm sure it is because, as I said, there wasn't loads of people doing it. So, I had people that travelled quite a long way to come to me, and quite high, sort of wealthy, high up people that actually, I had to, because they were who they were, you
One
definitely
of
do a
them was a
Sunday.
royal, wasn't it?
Yes.
Oh.
But even so, it soon became very quickly, and it became my passion. I absolutely adored doing it better than any other treatment. All the other treatments were just meant nothing, whereas lashing, I just absolutely loved doing. So it wasn't a difficult choice to just say, okay, I'm an hour lash artist, I'm not anything else, and I dropped everything I'd set up to do for all the other treatments. I quite easily just discarded it all and just did lashing. And as I said, just really passionate about it. I just loved doing it. I was really passionate about it. And from there, because again, as I said, I mentioned my friend had a beauty school and she could see how things were going for me. And she said to me, you do have so much to offer. Would you come and be a trainer? So I thought, well, that sounds quite interesting. And I love sharing things and I love helping people and, passing on every bit of, I spent hours researching and learning things for myself, but to be able to tell other people it and save them time was always a pleasure. So I did my teacher training. And then once I'd qualified for that, I then started training as well. So, I then used to have to take a day out of train of lashing, book a day out so that I could train. From there, it was just my idea that she was training, and then we were suggesting where people could go to purchase products. And I just thought, well, surely if you're training, wouldn't it be nice to have a starter kit? So that you can go home that day. Everyone wants to go home and practice, and they're all keen. You're really, after a day's training, you're ready to get home and go, well, I just want to try this again now. So I thought if people could go home with something that they could then use immediately, that surely that's a really good idea, which is where I then started researching products and spent quite a while.
Is this to source your own products for
Yes,
kits?
yeah.
Were you using, we won't name any names, but
No.
were you using another brand's
I was using
products at the
another
point for
at
training?
that time for train at the beauty school we were at, we were using another brand. And although we would then give a list in the training of places you could buy and different brands. Obviously, we were using a particular brand there. But in my opinion at that time, I couldn't understand why everything seemed so expensive. I know it was like new and there wasn't a lot around, but it really seemed so much more expensive than I thought it should be. So part of me was, I just started on the kits and just thought, what a great idea. I'm training. Wouldn't it be nice to give a kit to everybody? So that was really my start. And I just literally, I didn't go any further into it other than training and having a kit. So
still at this point, we're what, 1 year in, 2 year in?
Yeah, yeah.
So we, 1 to 2 years in, yeah. And you're still, you haven't formed the idea that you want to become a lash product supplier.
No, not really. It was purely kits. In my head, as I say, very short-sighted, only kits. It was never an intention for anything more. However, I then managed to source, and once I'd sampled and decided I was happy with items that I'd received, I was then using them myself anyway. So obviously mm-hmm. benefited me because I was using them for my lashing. Mm-hmm. But then I was able to provide kits. And everything was going really well and everyone was very happy to have a kit. But what I didn't really consider was when they used what they had in their kit, they would then contact me. Now, I didn't have a website and it wasn't really like that. So you'd get a phone call and people would say, I need some more lashes. I need some more. And I didn't really anticipate replenishing people's stock. And that's where I thought, oh, this is stupid. I should have stock to give people. If people are using what I've got, they should be able to come back. So that's when I then thought I'd better start. And that's when it began, I will start supplying products. So I was then getting the product, still sourcing more because obviously I had to add to it. So I had some suppliers already. And it was just growing. I still hadn't had a website at that point, but then we did decide, well, if I'm going to go down this route, then we're going to need a website. It would be much easier to get, how we're going to get to people. We need a website. And
at this point, is it in terms of staff or anything, just you and dad?
No, not even dad at the time. No. It was me, just me. He was doing his own thing. And I was looking into different web designers to see. I even spoke to my friend who had the beauty school to see where she had her website done. And her only criticism of her website, they did the website well, but the criticism was when she wanted to have any changes made, she'd have to email them, and then it could take over a week for a change to be made. And we were thinking, well, that's awful. That just seems far too long. But luckily then that is when in comes my husband. And he was always very clever with computers, didn't ever work with computers. And he said, I could do your website. So our first website, okay, we haven't got that now. It's very old school.
I remember.
It's very
It did the job.
And at that point then, because a lot of work had to be put into it, he decided, or we decided, that he would then come into partnership with me and he would run that side of it.
So he saw you were doing really well and thought, I'll have a bit of that.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. No, it was. So then it was just the two of us. So then he started with me. He did the website. And
at this point, did you think it could now be something? Were you now realizing, because you're 2 or 3 years into what to something that was supposed to just be pocket money?
Well, yeah, again, not really. It was never in my thoughts did I ever have the only decision was, we started this, I was still lashing, I was still training, and I did get to a point where I couldn't do everything, and it was hard to take one thing forward if you were trying to do the other just mm-hmm. by yourself. So we had to then work out, and the only business, you know, part of it that we discussed was, with lashing, there is a limit for one person. There is a, you know, you've got mm-hmm. to, there's a limit of how many hours.
How many hours in a day, how many people you can get in. Yep.
Whereas if you have a website and you sell products, it's 24/7 and there is no limit.
Mm-hmm.
Every day of the, you know, I think to this day, which I find very, very strange, we have sold something every single day of every year since we started, which means we sell on Christmas Day, we sell on Boxing Day. And I never understand, how do people, you know, we always try and do a guess now, how many people are going to order on Christmas Day? Because I don't expect one person to be online, but yeah. we always get orders.
But that's the power of the brand that you created.
So, I still didn't really anticipate it. To be honest, it was just the two of us. And then as it picked up and got bigger and was getting more and more orders.
and this is, not to cut you off, but this is how LashBase started.
This is how LashBase started, yes. So I then decided I needed to stop training. I needed to stop lashing at that point and now focus on LashBase as a brand, as and sell, and the sales and supplies were number one to us.
And that's how LashBase started. So from being something that you wanted to do because your kids had left you to earn yourself a bit of pocket money and keep you busy, to then being a passion that you found and realized you just loved,
mm-hmm.
to being naturally good at it, to becoming a trainer, to unknowingly finding products that people seem to like,
mm-hmm.
to launching a website.
And caring.
I think that's one of the main things that has made the difference, because you weren't in this to make loads of money.
No.
You were in this because you enjoyed it and you liked then helping people.
Mm. Yeah, I do, genuinely.
Nice one. Okay, so next question. That wasn't so much quick fire.
Sorry.
Yep. Next question. What is your biggest weakness in business? Or one of your weaknesses? Maybe not a big, not a biggest one.
One of my weaknesses.
Not that you have loads.
I think I probably do have a lot of weaknesses. I think I'm very soft. I'm probably not hard enough in business. But then it's only now when you get to a certain stage, you kind of feel you need to tighten up and be harder, whereas that's not me as a person. So when you start, you start the business how you are yourself, and I treat people how I would like to be treated myself, and I'm very much a giver rather than a taker, and so therefore.
But that's where, here we are 14 years on, and that is the LashBase.
Yeah, it's the LashBase way.
That is, we give more than we receive. We always.
I much prefer seeing other people's success than really looking at my own.
Yeah, trying to share yours and stuff.
It thrills me to see everybody else's. And if I've played a part and helped people.
Would you say you feel embarrassed if you have to talk about your own success?
Very, yeah. I do like to hide away.
Yeah, I know. And for anybody watching this, I don't know which camera I can look at. People watching this, we have had to force my mum to be on camera because we realised people didn't know or don't know the LashBase story, especially any customers that have been, like people that have been around for maybe 10 years will know who you are and know your story. But over the last 2 or 3 years, You don't like being on camera, do you? You don't like being part of it, any of that, which is why you're like, no, Jamie, you do that bit. But you've been here every single day, like behind the scenes, doing all the stuff. So this is why we wanted to bring my mum on, so that to show you that this isn't just like me or just me and my brothers or anything like that. It's a family business which was started by my mum. Okay, and the next question is from Lashed by Viviana. It's quite a simple one. What is your favorite lash-based product?
Interesting.
Oh, and why?
And why? Okay. Well, probably have quite a few that I do like. I do.
I would think that you have quite a few that you like.
I mean, obviously, everything
Some
we
of them
take
are all right.
pride.
Some of them are terrible,
Yeah,
aren't they?
we
But
take pride in. I suppose. I think the thing is, I do like Extreme Plus because it has been something that we had has been there for so long. We've had it for so long. It is just one of our. It is our top seller. I love using it myself, and a lot went into backwards and forwards getting it to exactly
getting the
how we
right
wanted
formula,
it.
getting it tested under
So
the
I do
regulations,
like
yeah.
that, but probably more recently, our new six section silicon lash stand. And the reason why I like that one so
That's the
much,
weirdest one to have as your favorite
I
product, but
know,
okay, go on.
but the reason why is when we started with ProMades and we needed something to put them on, I actually designed that, and it's been backwards and forwards to the manufacturer and designed it myself. And I feel so proud that I actually
You've
did that. I
invented it
invented
from
that.
nothing, yeah.
It was nothing, and I designed it and told them what I wanted, and the whole mold and everything was made to what, rather than having something that lots of other people have and
Yeah.
other brands all have the same because they're just a general product.
And I guess if ever anybody else, which I'm sure they will, because that's how these things work, bring out the same product, you'll still know that it was you. That
Definitely. I
actually
know for a
come
fact.
out came out of here.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I
that is.
said, this is what we need. It needs to be slightly raised. It needs to be this. And yeah. And so
Yeah.
I feel quite proud that I something so simple, but
Yeah, I thought
it
that
was
was a
mine.
strange one, but I get it, and that is a very good choice. Okay, right. So next question is going to be from Unique Touch Guildford, and she has asked, is there anything that you would do differently if you could go back?
To be fair, I actually think my journey and how we started it and the very slow rise, it was never a fast rise. It's always been just a steady go. I do like that, and I think I still believe that I'm happy with the way that went. Maybe if I could pick anything that I could maybe change is maybe earlier on I could have delegated a bit quicker, sooner. Yeah, I'm just always been so used to doing everything myself that I find it hard to let go, but I can see in business that it is a better way and you should get more people on board, delegate a little bit more, and trust people to do what you've asked them to do. Whereas, sadly, I still wanted to do everything. I'm only just learning to let go now.
I was gonna say, I think that's a normal thing. This is your, as you've said before, this is your baby. And I'm sure other people feel exactly the same when they have their own business, it's their baby. And then to give away things that you and lose that control is hard. But yeah, I think like you delegate more than you ever have before.
I think as well, it's not just because I like control. I think I actually I just genuinely love doing it all, whether it's packing up somebody's order, whether it's unloading a container. I'll still be there doing that. I'm never I don't, I'm not too big to do any of that.
And this is definitely not for the camera, because I know that is 100% true. You're packing orders most days.
So it's kind of upsetting when I get told to go away because I do enjoy it. So even, you know, and I'd be just as happy sweeping a floor. I would never, ever expect anybody to do anything that I wouldn't do myself.
Yeah.
And that, but sometimes you have to step back and let other people do it. So yeah, it's getting there.
Yeah. Good one. Okay. Next question then. Lucy Contessa says, so far in your lash based journey, what has been your biggest achievement? Lash based journey.
Okay. So probably extremely cheesy.
I think I know what's going.
And it is cheesy. However, it is genuine, 100% genuine. Now, if anybody out there has boys, only have boys, there is a saying that that a boy is a son is a son until he meets a wife. A daughter is a daughter all of her life. That is 100% true and real. So for me to only have boys, and obviously my family is my most important thing, to be with them for a long time, then for them to go and do their own thing as you want them to, you know that when they're all married, all my boy, they're all married now with children. However, probably the best achievement and my favorite best achievement of my life now is I thought I'd probably lost them for good. However, as I said, totally cheesy. However, having made a business that has fortunately been successful has meant that I was able to bring them all into the business, and they are doing amazingly well, but it also meant that I brought them back into my life, and I actually got to see them as much as their wives did. So and now I've got 6 grandchildren to try and look after them.
So we're trying to kick you out so you can become nanny. Nice one.
That is true though, cheesy as it is, but everything that's happened, that's my most biggest achievement, that I got them all.
Nice one. I
feel like I've won.
Do you feel like that every day, by the way?
Yes, I do. I am.
I'll remind you of that the next time we have a meeting. Right, okay, questions. I'm going to move on to some different types of questions now. I want to ask a question that's more recent. Why did you decide to open up in the US?
Okay, good question. There's probably two parts to it. We are very successful in the UK, and we did have quite a number of customers already coming to us from the from US. However, we always knew that if we could be there, there's a lot more that we could get more customers. The second part of it is, from a very, very young age, for me anyway, I've always, and I don't know where it's come from, I don't know why, I've always loved America. I used to say as a child, or as I was growing up, I'm American at heart, which is a really weird thing to say, and I don't know where it came from, but there was always some pull towards America for me. And if I'd ever had the chance to move to America, I would have done. However, my husband didn't want to. So it was never an option. And then I said the only way I would have moved is when my family was young, because they would be with me. I would obviously not do that now because my family are here. So the idea of, you know, living there now wouldn't be an option. However, I still love the country. And so it's almost like a tick on the bucket list that we now have. I now have both countries because we have a business out there, which means we are part of America, which also allows us, you know, we get to go out there more often. We have now a base and a home, not home, a base and a house in Florida. So even a lovely part of America, ideal for families. And so it kind of worked great for me in that way. However, I do think it's extremely sensible for the business. And I think it's going to, you know, it's doing very, very well. And for me now, again, everything that I see, not necessarily for me, but I see it for my family and what my family are going to achieve from it.
Nice. Okay. What has been the key to growing Lashbase, do you think?
The key. Well, like I said, I think growing Lashbase, we probably, it's customer service and our way in which we are with everybody. We're not just a business. I feel that we are a whole family. All other lash artists, everybody that uses us, are all part of Lashbase, and
which is why we always go to all events and stuff like that. And
I think that is the key to us growing Lashbase, was going at that angle. We weren't there trying to push and get, you know, it's not all about selling products. It's about the community. It's about making sure that everything is done right by our for our customers. So,
okay. And if there was somebody that, say, because there may be someone that's watching this that's maybe early mid 20s, maybe they might have a child, and they're a lash artist and they've got dreams of having their own lash brand or becoming a trainer, mm-hmm. and having their own lash brand, what advice would you give to them right now if they're thinking, looking at, like, say, you or Lashbase and thinking, like, why can't I, or why aren't I there, or why can't I be like that, or how do I get to that? Mm-hmm. What's your advice?
Well, if it's something that you really want to do, I definitely would say go for it. There is plenty of room for so much more. The whole industry is still very small, and there is room for a lot more. So if it's something, if it is just you want to be a trainer, I mean, it is persistence. You can't give up. You know, it's not easy. Don't get me wrong. It's not easy. And you do have to work. It doesn't just fall on, you know, just fall in front of you and great, there it is in a week's time. You've got to be prepared to go the long haul. If you really, really want something, if you've got it in your heart and you want it, it's not always going to be easy. There is going to be ups and downs. You're going to have things that knock you down. You're going to fail at some things. But you've got to look at failure. It's a learning curve. You just get back up and you just carry on and you just go again, and you can't let all these knocks get to you. And it can be hard, but if you've got it in you, you just have to keep on going. It's there, and I believe anybody. I truly believe anybody can do it if you have the mind to do it. But you do have to have it in your mind, and be prepared to work hard.
Okay, and I've got one more question for you, which is, remember it? Yeah, and I've got one more question for you before we finish. That is, what do you think makes Lashbase different? And therefore, what could somebody take away if they're looking to do the same? So what makes Lashbase different?
I think... I can't really speak for other brands because there are so many good brands out there that I'm sure are good brands. But I do know for us, I'd say, you know, we truly care. We you know, it's not just about selling products, any products. We take a lot of time, and a lot of research and a lot of care in bringing our products in, i.e. with regulations, compliances. We don't just put anything out there. It all has to be regulated first. Then obviously our customer support is just paramount. We really need to, we do understand that, you know, being, you know, I was a lash artist once and I know what it's like to be a lash artist. And so, you know, we do care about what they're going through and, you know, how it is for them. And we just try our best with customer support. And I'd also say we are a family business. So we understand other people have families, what everybody else is going through. You know, we're the same. We're very down to earth. And it's really reflected in our staff as well. Our staff, it's just like an extended family. We treat everybody the same. No well, one
like,
is different.
Like you said, you spend most of your time packing orders or sweeping the floor or anything like that. It's, yeah. Everybody does everything, don't they?
They do. And, you know, we have a lot of fun as well. I like to think that everyone here, most days, everyone is so happy. Mm-hmm. You know, and obviously if, you know, yeah, we just, everyone's got kind of the same brand value. We try to bring it in so that we all feel the same. Yeah, and I think that, you know, truly does mean that everybody here cares about what is going out, you know, and we do our absolute utmost at all times. You know, I'm sure, I mean, I don't know about other brands, but I often think some things we do, I cannot imagine other brands doing. And that is when our delivery driver does not come. I had a day off and the delivery driver had not turned up. And I knew that if it didn't get to the depot, it was like 5:30. If it wasn't at the depot by 6 o'clock, it was not going to make going up to the hub, main hub, which meant this was actually DPD. And I went out of my way to say, we've got to load these up now. I'll take them over. So I came by, took them, and I'm thinking, who else would actually do that? To be that concerned that, you know, instead of just passing the buck, well, they didn't turn up. It was our responsibility. Mm. For our customers to make sure they got out. So just because DPD were late coming to us meant we didn't, it didn't mean that we should just shrug our shoulders and go, oh, well, you know, it's not gonna, you know, they're not coming, so it's not our fault. It definitely is. So when I got a call to say that, what do? They haven't come. And my thought was, all I could think was, just load it in the car and take it. And as they've just moved to a new one and weren't too sure where it was, I just said, don't worry, I'll go. And straight away, I was just up there. I managed to get to them. Felt like a DPD driver because I'm there driving in their depot onto their conveyor belt and then offloading all my parcels onto the conveyor belt just so that it could be scanned to go that night. You know, and I just feel... Yeah, I know there probably is some people out there that may do that and you know, as it is important to them. But I consider any other larger brand, probably that wouldn't happen. I honestly believe that is where we definitely go
above and beyond. When you have it's just yourself or you've got a couple of members of staff, it's quite easy. It's not quite easy, sorry, I'm not trying to belittle anything. When it's just you or you've got a couple of members of staff, you might, if you're dropping these parcels off anyway, you can do that. But I think your point of like when you get to a certain level and become in our quote unquote in our industry big, it's harder. And I also agree. I don't think other brands would do that sort of thing. But equally, there is something that happens almost every single day where no, customers don't ever see. Like I know I sometimes put things on my Instagram stories because like I might be in America or whatever, and I share quite a bit. And I share the times in which we're doing things that are going above and beyond that anyone that's not watching that Instagram story, they won't have a clue that that's what we've done. But there isn't a day that goes past where someone in this building isn't doing something that they don't need to be doing, that
No,
you
that's right.
could, so other people wouldn't, that we do, that makes all the difference. And I think you leading by example and doing something like that then leads to that's how everybody else behaves too. And I
Well,
think
I'd
you're
like to
right.
think so. Yeah, that's it.
That makes the difference for
For
Lashbase,
us,
because
yeah.
like I said, the amount of things, and you get no thanks for it, but
No.
every now and again, that is what, like, we'll never know either,
No.
but that is what would make the difference.
You don't do it really to get thanks, to be fair. It's not to get thanks, or people to show their appreciation, because it should be unknown things. These are unknown and hidden, but it just makes, as a business, I just feel you do it because it's the right thing to do. And I would love to think if I've ordered something and I was expecting it and I paid for next day and it's going to be there the next day, that the company that I did that, I may not ever see it, but then I'd like to think they'd do that for my parcel. I don't know whether they would, but I do what I would like to be done, whatever I'd like to be done myself. However I feel in my heart I'd like to be treated is how we are with everybody else.
I agree. Okay, and that about wraps up our little interview, Mum. I don't know how to end this because we're
No.
just going to be going out and getting back to work,
Yeah.
but hopefully everybody that has watched all of this will now know you a little better. And if you have liked what you've seen, I will force Mum to be on camera a little bit more.
I'll try my best.
But yeah, okay, thank you.
Thank you.